Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service from Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And if we are excited to bring this service to you today, and we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements together. Let's affirm the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have our daily word reading for Sunday, September the 13th. The key word is friendship, and the affirmation is, I give thanks for my friends. Throughout my life, I have had supportive friends. I celebrate the support we have given one another. What a comfort it is to know that I have relationships of mutual respect, affection, and companionship. I extend myself in friendship when I place a call to a faraway friend or plan a get-together over a meal in fellowship and communion. The love I have received in friendship inspires me to give love to others. When I abide in the love of God, I know that I am never alone. The presence and power of infinite love fills and sustains me. I share God's love when I give encouragement and understanding. I share love joyously with my friends, and my life is richly blessed. The scripture is Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And now we'll have the message with Reverend Butch.
Well, good morning. And we are getting ready to embark on a new series here called Practicing the Principles in Uncertain Times. And the subtitle for this is going to be, Your Life is the Outpicturing of What You Are Affirming. Now, in this talk, you're going to hear a lot of familiar language, you know, affirmations and, you know, we create our own life and so forth. But I want you to, you know, don't let the fact that you've heard it before cause you to tune out, because we're going to take this to sort of the next level, this idea of how do I practice the principles in uncertain times, okay? And so again, the affirmation for this series is my life is the outpicturing of what I am affirming. And this is really for us a reminding, you know, sort of a reminder affirmation, because it's something that we already know, because we talk about it all the time. But from the perspective of practicing the principles in uncertain times, we need to constantly remind ourselves that, you know, our life is the outpicturing of what we are affirming. And we're going to really get into this in depth. Now, in my research, I came across an interesting topic that I've never heard of before, and it's called meta-psychiatry, okay? And it comes from the work of a New York psychiatrist, Thomas Hora. He was born in 1914 and died in 1995, but you know, he's a pioneer in the field of consciousness whose work transcended traditional psychiatry. So meta-psychiatry is an attempt to integrate principles from metaphysics, spirituality, psychology, and then, you know, quoting from a statement that Dr. Hora made, and let me just put this up for you, he says that meta-psychiatry draws liberally from the existential teachings of the Christ, the Buddha, Zen masters, that's okay, hon, and the wisdom of mystics, as well as philosophers of all ages, as well as from the discoveries of quantum physics. So, and it's to illustrate a unique approach to the realization of our already existing wholeness. And this teaching is concerned with exploring ideas with which substantiate the realm of consciousness as the only reality, and it teaches that the body is a vehicle of consciousness. Now, that you see that's highlighted. The body is the vehicle of consciousness, and the purpose of our lives is to awaken to our eternal an inseparable divinity with the divine presence, so that we may know it consciously and manifest it consciously as fully as possible. Okay, so that's sort of the process that we're going to be looking at. And yes, this concept, again, is not new to us, but it's interesting that it's coming from another branch of science, all right? And this, again, you know, you keep hearing me say about, you know, Carl Jung's circumambulation. You know, we study these this principle that we create our own consciousness through the teachings of unity, but also we're beginning to see that it's not specific to unity. This is sort of a universal idea that, you know, we create our lives through our consciousness. So, you know, what we're going to look at this time is Dr. Hoare's idea of metapsychiatry, but he calls it meta-teaching. And central to this meta-teaching is the idea that our thoughts manifest as our reality. Again, language that you know. So again, even though we already know this, the question is, how do we put this principle into practice in these uncertain times? And that's the dynamics of it. And actually, some of you have been asking me this question, you know, how do I practice these principles, you know, in these uncertain times in my everyday life? So we're going to look at that specifically in this this particular lesson. So the key of the study of spiritual principles for practical application in our lives is to understand that all this time we've been learning a new language, and that's what I want us to take us to. It is the language of spirit, but more specifically on a deeper level, it's the language of the Holy Spirit. And I, now remember, the Holy Spirit is the love of Jehovah taking care of the whole human race. The Holy Spirit is your individualized breath of God, the life essence of your being. So we talk about that quite often, you know, that when you're talking about God is good and, you know, good things are happening in your life and we give credit to God. And yes, that's the truth. But that individualized expression of God is the Holy Spirit that is right in our own being, always seeking to bring into expression that which is our, you know, for our highest good. So this Holy Spirit language must become so much a part of our consciousness that we actually begin to think in Holy Spirit language, all right? It's sort of like, you know, Pam is very good at languages and, you know, she's studying French and so forth. And people who are good at languages, it's not that they just can switch from one language to another. It's that in their mind, they're actually thinking in one language or the other. They can switch their thinking to that language, their mind to that language. So that's what we're talking about here, is we want to actually switch the language of our consciousness to that of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of this is if we are thinking in Holy Spirit language, we will typically speak in Holy Spirit language and act from Holy Spirit compassion, all right? So that's what we're trying to get to. So Dr. Hoare expressed that we live in a mental universe and thought is the basic stuff of life. Again, you've heard this before, okay? But metapsychiatry defines a thought as a unit of energy. Now let me just say it again. Metapsychiatry defines a thought as a unit of energy. So a love thought is a unit of love energy. Likewise, a fear thought is a unit of fear energy. So even though we already, you know that thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, this concept of thought as a unit of energy begins to help us understand why thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, okay? Now, as Albert Einstein's equation E equals mc squared affirms, energy and matter are the same substance, just transmuted, meaning energy converted to substance, okay? So when you have a thought and that becomes a unit of energy, what Albert Einstein saying in his formula is that the thought to its manifestation, they're both the same thing, except that one is now in physical dimension and has moved from the non-physical dimension. So that's the key we want to keep in mind. So the key here is that we always want to keep in mind what we're doing. So if you think about the fact thought energy converted into something, think of thought energy as converted into something that you experience. So you have a thought, you know, of your body, your life, and affairs, and that thought energy produces itself in your body, life, and affairs. So what we need to put this spiritual science principle into practice is a personalized life management system to increase our ability to produce more spiritual energy units and less fearful energy units. Okay, does everybody follow me? This is when I love to have people in front of me just shaking heads up going like this. All right. So one of the main areas of focus in this personalized spiritual life management system is for each of us to observe and become aware of the inner workings of our mind and how those inner working mind dynamics have been influencing our lives. Again, like I said, don't say I've heard this before because you have heard it before, but let's try to understand what this really means in terms of application. So our purpose in doing this is to begin to establish a sense of congruency between what we normally think about and what we pray about. Is what I ask God for in prayer in alignment with my normal day-to-day thought process? Okay. So as you can imagine, if what you think about and what you pray about are not congruent, there will be a conscious or unconscious sense of inner confusion that will project itself into your life and affairs. Okay. So the basic premise of this spiritual life management approach is realizing that there's usually a match between the dynamics of our inner world and the manifestations in our outer world. Okay. So let me just bring this up. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Our life is a walking, talking, thinking, praying demonstration of the true affirmations being repeated over and over again in our heart, mind, and soul. Okay? So if, you know, if our life is not going the way we want it to, part of our work is to determine what it is we are really affirming for ourselves in our general daily mental mind talk, all right? And I think two Sundays ago, we called it, you know, monkey mind, all right? So you have to kind of figure out, what is this, what is constantly going on in my mind on a daily basis? And is that congruent with what I pray about, what I say that I want in my life? So in talking with someone recently who was describing how things were not going well in her life, there was one thing that stuck in my mind. She kept saying, I have never been able to. You get that? I've never been able to. Can you hear it? There's finality in that statement that is like a virus. It can infiltrate everything she attempts to do. But the key is each one of us, even me, we have some sort of statement or statements like that embedded so deeply in our consciousness that it will take a high level of awareness and self-observation to be able to detect it, and even a higher level of prayer practice to root it out of ourselves. It will require us to learn the language of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because general statements like, I have never been able to, serve as sort of a painkiller for those times when, you know, when we what we want or we need to happen doesn't happen. Then sort of the painkiller, you know, comes up and says, well, you know, we just shrug our shoulders and say, see, I told you, I have never been able to, all right? So that's what we want to get rid of, is these unconscious excuses we use for why we are not able to accomplish in life that which we say we want in our lives. And as this idea of meta psychiatry explains, life is a conscious process, and we are literally thinking ourselves through our life experiences. Now, as we've studied extensively, spiritual metaphysics teaches us that if we do not like what is occurring in our lives, we need to determine what it is we are really thinking about most of the time and do something about changing that thought process. We need to examine what we really believe to be true for ourselves. Because there's one thing we'll say that, well, we think is true for ourselves, but there's another feeling that may be going on inside that can be incongruent with what, you know, what we're saying. So simply, what is the truth that I'm really affirming? And that's where this idea of affirmations goes to another level. Because unity, you know, we'll say a lot of affirmations, but what am I really affirming inside myself? So as we move across this path, you know, learning how to practice these principles in these uncertain times, it's important to revisit the power of affirmations and the constant effect they have on our lives. And this is where we begin to uncover whether or not the affirmations in our minds are based on the language of the Holy Spirit or the language of our ego. And this is how you develop a spiritual life management system, by constantly making those determinations. So we read in Matthew 10, 19, 20 that Jesus said to his disciples, "But when they arrest you," and listen carefully, "when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Heavenly Father speaking through you." So the language of the Holy Spirit comes to you when you practice living the surrendered life, meaning, "not my will, but thine be done." Okay? So this idea of living the surrendered life is a process where you're constantly working with prayer to keep surrendering yourself to that spirit within you that's always giving you the guidance that you're looking for. And it comes from remaining, this idea of the surrendered life comes from remaining open to the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit as Jesus explained it to his disciples. So the metaphysics, you know, he said, when they come to arrest you, okay? Now, it's an interesting language, you know, especially when Jesus speaks, or you say, well, like in the beginning, we will make God, man in our image and after our likeness. So when Jesus says, when they come to arrest you, that's talking about the dynamics of what is happening in your consciousness. So the word arrest, from a metaphysical perspective, means a stop is being placed on bad habits and bad behavior. So a stop is being placed on bad habits and bad behavior. So when they come to arrest you, you can think of that as the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, coming to arrest or stop those bad habits or bad behaviors. Bad meaning not in alignment with spirit, okay? So to be spiritually arrested means order is being restored, causing you to come to your spiritual senses. I love that. You know, that's neat, isn't it? All right. And, you know, of course, this can only happen when you are consciously practicing living the surrendered life, okay? Meaning, not my will, but thine be done. So the first words Jesus spoke when he began his public ministry, the first words he spoke when he began his public ministry were in the language of the Holy Spirit. It's recorded in Luke 4:18 that he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That is Holy Spirit language, okay? When you find yourself in turmoil, instead of saying, "Turmoil is upon me," just say to yourself, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," all right? Now, this is a statement of surrender to the will of Spirit, and to be, and this is Jesus' surrender to the will of Spirit, to be his guide in the ministry that he was about to begin, okay? So he knew he was getting ready to step out, you know, step out in a very big way. So he made that affirmation. He used Holy Spirit language. Now, the last words that Jesus spoke were also the language of the Holy Spirit. It's recorded in Luke 23:46. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Now, we're familiar with that because we know about the prayer that we do. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, soul, mind, and body." Okay? So the same thing. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Again, you say to yourself, "Well, how do I speak Holy Spirit language?" You find yourself feeling challenged by the uncertain times we're in right now, and you simply say, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Because if you're not committing your spirit to the Holy Spirit, then what is happening is you're committing your spirit to the stuff in the world that's troubling you. I hope that made sense, okay? Now, Bible scholars say that Jesus borrowed those words, "into thy hands I commit my spirit," from King David, written in Psalm 5, which are, and listen to these words, "Listen to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hear my cry for help, my King, my God, for to you I pray. Okay? So both Jesus and David's words are an example of how we are inspired to use the language of the Holy Spirit to pray for deliverance or arrest from the drama of our ego, so that we can serve God without any distractions, okay? So that's the key here. We want our ego arrested, right? We want to be delivered from the turmoil that it causes so that we can serve God without any distractions. Now, as the West African proverb says, when you pray, move your feet, okay? But in the case of this lesson, how do we begin this process of moving towards serving God without distraction? Okay. Well, we in Unity are big on affirmations. And yes, they are a great way to begin developing your spiritual life management system. Okay. Now, one definition, let me just bring this up. Okay. One definition of affirmations is that it is the act of affirming or the state of being affirmed. Now, the first part of that definition we understand, but the second part, the state of being affirmed, describes the effect the affirming process has on one affirming, okay? So the state of being affirmed means that your mental, emotional state is becoming that which you are affirming, okay? So that's the key that we're working with. And this is great if what you are affirming is for your highest good, okay? The fact that you're moving into the state of what you're affirming is good if that what you're affirming is for your highest good. But if we reflect back on the opening statement from metapsychiatry, which says our body and our life are the vehicles of consciousness, it becomes imperative that we remain conscious of what we are affirming. We have an unconscious tendency to carelessly formulate negative affirmations as a reaction to the events and circumstances in our lives, while not realizing that what we're thinking and saying are very real affirmations with all of the impact affirmations have on our body, mind, life, and affairs. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, stuff will happen in life, and I can't even think of it, what we might say, but you know what I'm saying, is that stuff will happen, you'll say, well, that's always going on, I'm always going to be, you know, whatever it is. And we're saying those things because of something that happened in the world that caused us to have this sensation, this inner feeling, and then voice it in a way that we think we're just voicing, you know, a thought that's in our mind. But you got to understand, that is an affirmation. It is something we have affirmed for ourselves, all right? Or we have affirmed as being the state of affairs, all right? So our thoughts shape our words, and our words shape our actions. And the combination of our thoughts and words and actions shape our lives. Now it says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. All right? And this brings us to the idea behind today's lesson. The central point of today's lesson is that our thoughts and the words we use to express those thoughts have an affirmative nature. Okay? So affirmative means approving or confirming. So we set the state of our mind, body, life, and affairs by what we think about most of the time, okay? So you're just, you know, we'll have these mindless thoughts just going through our head, you know, getting caught up in them, right? And we all know what I'm talking about. At least it happens for me. You know, all of a sudden you're going down this road, and you kind of stop yourself. So why am I going down this road? You know, whatever the thinking process is. But you got to understand that thinking process you're in has an affirmative dynamic to it, okay? That's why we want to be very careful about what we are mulling over in our minds. So our thoughts and words give approval and confirmation to the outer expressions in our lives, whether we meant for it to do it or not, okay? So it's almost like, you know, the joke you heard me say sometimes, I'll say something, and say, let me take that back, and I'll go, whoop, like I'm taking the words back. But you've already put that energy out there. Remember, a thought is a unit of energy, okay? And you've already put that energy out there. So you want to really become conscious. That's the spiritual life management system, is becoming conscious of what you are affirming most of the time, all right? So in essence, I am what I think about. Or another way of saying it is, what I am affirming in my mind is manifesting itself in my life. Okay? Now let me share this slide with you. All right. So a legitimate thought you may want to contemplate at this point is, what is the one congruent thought, the one Holy Spirit thought, I should be using to connect my thoughts, words, and actions for my highest good? It is simply this. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God, the good, omnipotent. Okay? And, you know, in much of our praying and unrealized affirming, you know, when I said unrealized affirming, we're trying to free ourselves from some calamity, okay? Be it mental, physical, or some dilemma in our lives, all right? The problem is, even though these prayers and affirmations are for legitimate reasons, they are usually against something not working the way we want it to in our lives. And let me say that again. A lot of times the affirmations that we're using, even though they're legitimate, okay, in terms of things that are happening in our lives, and we're trying to affirm those things away, we are typically a lot of times affirming something that we feel is against us, okay? So when you truly contemplate the affirmation, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good omnipotent. You can hear that it is an affirmation for something, you know, that is working for you. It's an affirmation for the increased awareness of God in our life and affairs. So you want to affirm things for you, not against you. And so the way you can test the legitimacy of your prayers and affirmations is to ask yourself, am I praying or affirming against something or for something? Okay? You want to be affirming or praying for something, not against something. Okay? So here's a very challenging thought from Lao Tzu 2,500 years ago. He made this statement. It's not going to make sense in the beginning, but just listen. He said, the reason we have a lot of trouble is because we have selves. Ourselves. We have selves. If we had no selves, it was, you know, this myself, what trouble would we have? So basically what he said is that, you know, we got so much stuff going on with ourselves. And that's what we're always struggling with. So we're always affirming against something that we feel is against us, that's, you know, bothering, hurting us, whatever it might be, the economy or the pandemic or, you know, whatever it might be. It's always, you know, we feel like something is against us, that's causing us to have this feeling, all right? And he said, what he's saying is, if we didn't have a self, then, of course, we wouldn't have that problem. But, again, that's the depth of Lao Tzu. So, but how we put this principle into practice in our lives? That's the question. If you're praying for healing, whether it is whether it's physical or mental or financial or whatever, you're aligning yourself with your physical self and its condition rather than aligning yourself with the one power, one presence, the Holy Spirit within you, okay? You are in essence in a fight with that which you perceive to be against you, be it illness, finances, or whatever. And I hope that's making sense. And again, this would be a good discussion for the Zoom fellowship if you're not quite grasping it. But the key here is, if you find yourself struggling with something, then you're feeling that thing you're struggling with is somehow against you, okay? You want to then turn your mind to that which is for you, the one power, one presence active in your life and affairs, God the good omnipotent, okay? Now, this may be difficult to grasp, but no matter what is happening, we do not want to lower ourselves into a fight with anything. We do not want to lower ourselves into believing that something or someone is against us. Instead, what we want to do is maintain the awareness that there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs. That's the affirmation that you can use to affirm that good for you, as opposed to these affirmations that are based on reactions against things that you feel are against you. And any challenge we're struggling with is being presented to us as an opportunity to increase our relationship with our true God presence, okay? So it's not for us to try to affirm or pray away the difficulty. rather it's for us to be, you know, to be able to affirm our oneness with our true God, God presence. Okay? So I end with this statement from Paul recorded in Romans 8:31 for all of us to contemplate. I'm going to put it up so we can read it together. He said, But then, what shall I say to these things that challenge me, that seem to be against me? Well, I say to them, if God is for me, who or what can be against me? And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So let's center ourselves and find that comfortable space right where we are and enjoy this gratitude meditation for today, Sunday, September the 13th. Centering ourselves now in preparation for coming ye apart a while. Enjoy this peaceful pause in your day. These moments are made just for you. There are no to-do lists in this moment. You have chosen to set them aside so you can become fully present to the here and now. Give yourself a sweet thank you with appreciation for this time that you are giving yourself to take a deep breath and relax. If it is safe and comfortable for you to do so, please close your eyes and relax fully into this moment. The energy of true appreciation is like the energy of prayer. It is filled with love. It imbues a rich warmth that creates feelings of love and peacefulness. A beautiful, breathtaking sunrise or sunset can stir up feelings of awe and wonder and a deep appreciation for the beauty that is all around us. Feel that awe and wonder as you relax here in the beauty of the stillness. Bask in the light of appreciation for life and all of its precious moments. Think of someone you truly, truly appreciate. Recall when someone has expressed true appreciation for you. Appreciation is a prayer of awe, a prayer of recognizing the good in ourselves and the good in others. We can see more beauty and more kindness when we appreciate our world. We can become more compassionate and loving as we appreciate the depth of the human and the divine within each one of us. Let's take these words into that secret place of the Most High, where we will use the next few moments in the silence and have the opportunity to be in communion with Spirit and fully realize our oneness with God. And now place your focus once again on your breath, breathing in and breathing out. By appreciating each breath, you feel uplifted by the very act of breathing something that is natural to your body and is a beautiful act of love from life itself. Breathe and feel the joy of appreciation as you move back into your day ever so gently. Look for the good and recognize all the amazing things in your life to truly and deeply appreciate. For all our blessings, we are forever grateful in and through the name of our elder brother and way shower, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And so it is. We hope you found your experience with Unity Center of Light a meaningful one. Have a beautiful and blessed day.
All right. Thank you, hon. All right. So let's do let's bless our offering. And I ask you to hold that offering in your hand as you say the offering blessing, imagining that you are actually in church holding that blessing, that plate's coming around, and you get ready to, you know, to share your blessings with your spiritual home, Unity Center of Light. And with that thought in mind, I know many of you give automatically through debit. We really appreciate that through PayPal. Many of you go and you're sending your checks in, which is really great. So we thank you for all of that. And holding that thought in mind and just for all of us feeling thankful for Unity Center of Light, let's do our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right.
And now
let's just do our light notes first.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have Courageous Conversations coming up Monday. Mary Frances is going to be with us tomorrow. She has two new books out. So she's going to talk about those books and talk about what she's been doing around the world with Courageous Conversations that we do, but, you know, the work that she does. So please join us for that, 7 o'clock tomorrow. You can get the Zoom link from the e-newsletter or the weekly update. Also, Course in Miracles is starting back on Tuesday, 7 o'clock on the 15th of September. And Ramona's class, which is Metaphysics 1, will be starting on Thursday, September the 17th. And you can sign up. You do have to sign up and register for that class ahead of time. There's a form on the website where you can sign up. So please go out to the website, unitycenteroflight.org, and you'll find the form there where you can sign up for her class. And then Keeping the High Watch every, you know, Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock if you want to step in for 15 minutes of prayer. You want to say anything about that? Or?
It's a wonderful opportunity to fellowship and to pray. It's a very short time, but it's a meaningful time, so I recommend it.
Yeah. All right. So with that, now we can do our affirmation for our right spiritual home. Right?
Yes. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together,
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
Amen.
All right. Okay. So is that it?
Yeah, that's it. We will see you in Zoom.
Yep, right after this, come to Zoom. And especially if you have any questions or want to do more discussion about the lesson, please join us. We had a great discussion last week.
Yeah.
So please join us for that, and we look forward to seeing you then.
Okay.
All right.
See ya.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.